This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 30 of Sunday Supplement, which is our
30.
Yeah, we are 30.
That
is true. It's also our pagan Christmas special.
Oh yeah, the pagan Christmas special. Are we actually going to do that?
Yeah. So have you got your giant wicker phallus?
No, I've got a washing basket, which is like a vagine.
You can have the wicker vagina then. I've got a wicker phallus, and I've also bought a giant wicker condom.
Keep your wicker phallus off my wicker vagina.
Well, yeah, because we don't want giant wicker kids. Unless we're going to put Edward Woodward inside it.
Yeah, unless we can open up the stomach, shove Edward Woodward in, and see if he burns. Would Edward Woodward burn?
I think Edward Woodward would burn.
Woo! That was worth the journey.
So, are you looking forward to Christmas?
Christmas, because it's got an H in it. So it's actually Tristmas.
Or it's Christ.
No, it's Christ. It's a ch sound. It's ch, it's a ch.
I suppose you don't say curlish when you mean churlish, do you?
Exactly, so it's Tristmas, right? Tristmas.
Tristmas.
Ooh, that sounds quite romantic.
Tristmas? No, it sounds really sordid and like a stupid one-night stand you might have in a Burnie Inn. Not in a Burnie Inn, that would be weird. In a holiday.
That would be a very pagan one, in a Burnie Inn. So tell me about the one-night stands you've had in your Burnie Inn then.
I've never been to a Burnie Inn.
Have you never been to one?
I've never had a one-night stand either.
I don't really know what a Burnie Inn is.
They used to exist on roadsides.
So they're types of dinosaur?
No.
They used to exist
on roadsides.
Is it Jesus?
No.
Jesus used to exist, and for some people still does. Yeah.
In their hearts. And mind and
feet. No, actually.
Okay, do you want to know what a Burnie Inn is or not?
I've forgotten. It's basically something next to a road, like a crisp packet.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Little Chef, I think, but more upmarket. So they did
more
like...
upmarket than Little Chef? That is a contradiction in terms, sir. Little Chef, that's quality establishment. I mean, second only to a Happy Eater.
A what? Oh, Happy Eater. Oh, that's like the spa, isn't it?
I remember there's a spa next to Bristol. What's that bit by the cathedral where it's also like there's a college green? I think it's called College Green.
Yeah.
And there's a spa there, and all the tramps used to congregate. It's basically tramps and goth kids. And just before my summer exams one year at university, I bought tramps a 16-pack of cider, which cost me about 40 pence. And they thought I was king, and they made me their king. And they said, good luck with your exams. And I had the magic of tramps to aid me. And I passed.
College Green is also where I saw where a tramp had been sat. His blanket was remaining, but it was still in the shape as if it was around the tramp. Like in The Invisible Man when he still wears clothes, if you see what I mean.
Maybe that's what happens to tramps. They sort of like curl up, make a little chrysalis, then break out and become finance executives.
And so I walked past this and I just loved the idea that a tramp could be not in. So, do you want to know what a Burnie Inn is or not?
I do want to know what a Burnie Inn is.
It's like Harvester, but they used to sell steak, I think.
Harvester sells steak. Very, very reasonably priced steak, apparently, as well.
You've been to a Harvester, haven't you?
I haven't, actually. Oh, okay. But I had a Harvester restaurant for my Sylvanian family village.
Wow.
It was really cool. And I also had, like, little shop stores. Most of this was bought secondhand from the Sunday market. Along with, like, flea-ridden blankets and that sort of thing.
And you?
I was not bought second-hand from Sunday Market.
Wow.
I was machine foil-sealed from the factory.
So, do you have a newspaper?
Well, yeah, kinda. Well, it's News of the World. Boom! Yeah!
Oh, God, you got the News of the World?
I did. Oh, it's so Christmassy and full of puns. Oh!
I got the Mirror, so between us, we've got nothing.
Wow.
We've got empty, vacuous bits of waffle. So
it's Christmas!
Right, let's cut things out and keep them in a kind of not cutting or keeping way. Because I have to be honest, my paper was gash this week.
Well, why? Why did you buy it?
Well, I don't know what's in the paper until I buy it, and I can hardly sit in a shop and read all the papers, can I? I suppose that's what you do. You go to the library, don't you, on a Sunday and read them all, and then buy the one you think's the best.
I don't go to the library on Sunday. I'm not some sort of heathen.
How's that heathenish?
Oh, learning stuff on a Sunday.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's where they drag the learning out of you. If we had a satire button, we could have pressed that then, and it had gone...
I think the satire button would have gone, no, don't get it. I'm going to listen to the bugle from now on. That's what the satire button would have said.
So, what I've noticed, though, every time I buy the mirror, which isn't very often, and none of us really buys it that often, but every time it's bought, there is always an article about Midsummer Murders in it.
That is true, actually.
So, without fail, I found an article about Midsummer Murders. It's an interrogation of John Nettles.
Excellent. Do they tie him to a chair and beat him?
No, they just ask him questions like, what's your festive tipple of choice?
I'd imagine his would be sherry.
No, it's a nice red Savigny Les Baumes or a mulled wine. But it ends up going from this nice little, ooh, what are you doing for Christmas? Do you like working on your TV show type article? Then it turns into this weird thing where they ask him what kind of fan mail he gets. And he starts telling this story about this Norwegian woman who keeps sending him these really expensive presents. The missus got particularly upset over one and sent it back. But the silly girl put our address on the back. So instead of writing to my agent, this fanatical lady writes directly to me now. I don't know whether to feel sad or strangely okay about it.
That's a rubbish cut out and keep.
I know, so I've got a second cut out and keep.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's about Jonathan Ross.
I like Jonathan Ross.
Yeah, I like Jonathan Ross as well. But he's saying he doesn't like Christmas now that his kids have grown up because they used to do this thing, and apparently this is true, and I might actually do it. He used to, with the kids, phone up NORAD. Do you know what NORAD is?
North Orca.
No. North American Defence.
That's not NORAD.
That's NORAD.
North American Defence. It wouldn't be NORAD, would it? It would be NADS.
I think that's probably why they called it NORAD. But apparently you can phone up NORAD and they'll give you an update of where Santa is. So they'll say, Santa is currently flying over Buenos Aires.
Basically, they just go wherever it's midnight.
No, they track Santa using their sophisticated satellites.
You can't track Santa. He's untrackable. That's why in the next series of 24, Jack Bauer's going to have to tie him to the chair and cut him.
He does take a lot of glee in torture.
Well, I love the fact that it's completely is against all evidence that torture works. Because in Guantanamo and all of that, there's basically been, you know, absolutely no leads because they torture. And as soon as you torture someone, you can't tell the bullshit from the actual good shit. The BS from the GS.
The guy who created it is a neocon. He created the show specifically to put forward the idea of kind of... Jack Bauer.
Unity through common enemy.
Yeah, and kind of the idea of, you know, for extraordinary situations, you have to use extraordinary measures.
Pretty much any American film revolves around the fact that violence can solve anything.
Any American film?
I can't think of one where violence doesn't.
Finding Nemo.
Don't they all do that thing of, we've got to escape, and then they sort of, like, get together and sort of, like, go, freedom, as they do in it, and run down the hill with no pants on.
I don't think fish do that.
I think they did, because they did it in the aquarium, and then all of the seagulls go, mine. Which is the only really good thing about that film.
I don't like Finding Nemo. I like most Pixar films, but I don't like... WALL-E. Oh, that's a good film. There's no violence in that.
Bet there is. Bet he fights like a toaster or something. I had a fight with my toaster the other day.
Literally?
It wouldn't accept a bagel, and I made it accept a bagel.
Did you cut the bagel into three thin slices?
No, I cut it into two.
Right.
As was my right. And I shoved it in despite protests and a lot of smoke.
So it ended up not as a bagel, but as a charred mess of dough.
Which does lead nicely into my article, which is Clause for Concern. Ha! How to survive Xmas in one piece. Christmas is the time of festive fare, families, and fire. Be scared, Britain. Be scared. There's a really, really lovely picture of a family opening presents, and in the background is a Christmas tree burning.
Is Santa tied to a chair next to it with his feet on fire and Jack Bauer looking on gleefully as a clock ticks?
Alas, not.
Hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. That's my 24 noise.
Well, I think you've just ruined my article.
So basically, it can catch fire because of the lights. Is that the...
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, and did you know that natural trees are more combustible than artificial ones?
Well, come on, obviously.
I know.
It's wood.
Next, there are candles, and candles is bold and underlined and sort of like done with fear. They look pretty. Yeah, they look pretty. But putting them on the windowsill next to your curtains isn't the brightest idea. You know, it's lovely to have an open fire, but chuck wrapping paper onto it, and if the paper drifts up the chimney, still alight, you could have a chimney fire. And then also, small children coming to visit over the holidays, or buy plugs so they don't electrocute themselves. Other hazards are rugs. Slippery floors.
Because you only get slippery floors at Christmas.
My final tip is about lighting your Christmas pud. Just pour over the amount of alcohol you need, carry it to the table, then light it. And keep a damp tea towel handy to use as a makeshift fire blanket in case the worst happens and your beard catches fire. And they give website picks, which is find out before the festive season where your nearest A&E department is.
You clearly win this week.
Yes! What's the clothes show?
It's a show about clothes and fashion. And they are single-handedly responsible for Vernon Kay.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool, blimey. Think somebody would tell his mother. I don't know what's worse about that, but it's quite a poor joke, or the fact that I said, cool, blimey.
Well, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas, Mary Poppins. How are you doing, love?
Fashion is basically what I was getting at. I've got this one dress four ways, and it's one blue dress from Dorothy Perkins, which is £30.
Yeah.
And they've got four ways that you can wear it, so you can get four outfits out of one dress.
Is one a hat? A very rude hat?
No, actually, it's not, which is weird, because they've run out of ideas by number four, and they suggest wearing it with a pair of Wellingtons.
Now, you see, you're laughing at that. That's extremely fashionable. What colour are the Wellingtons?
Green.
What colour is the dress?
Blue.
Oh dear.
Not fashionable wellies. They're like green rubber wellies.
Farmer Giles rubber wellies. Well, that's at least practical. If you're going to go shooting in a dress.
Be Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that's disgusting. You can't kill a grouse with sperm.
Depends how much sperm. Drown a grouse in spunk.
Poor grouse. Don't do that. That's not a very Christmassy thing to do. Don't pretend it's frosting. Horrible.
So can you beat my run out of ideas? Why don't they just do three?
Stay cool this Yule. Fashionistas are layering up and luxing out for Christmas styling by Lynn McKenna. Let's just put it this way. It's high street fashion and it looks like it belongs on the high street. And the models are very pretty, but it does look really like... You know when you walk into New Look?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like that, which is fine. I get stuff from New Look, but I wouldn't put it as the top quality end of fashion.
Any of them wearing Wellingtons?
I'm trying to see. I don't think so. I do have, like, makeup tips, though, which includes the pun shiny happy peepers, which it looks really wrong, because this girl's put lip gloss on her eyes.
Ooh.
And they literally look like she's got liquid wet eyes.
Am I wrong in thinking that the end of a lip gloss stick looks like a cat's penis?
To be honest, and I've had cats, I don't know what a cat's penis looks like. When I say I've had cats, I haven't had intercourse with them.
Oh.
Though, if Red Dwarf were real, I might with the actual cat.
If the American version of Red Dwarf were real, I'd certainly have had sex with a cat.
So there's an American version of Red Dwarf?
They did two pilots, and they did one where the cat was a slinky woman, and wow, one where he was a man. Hinton Battle, in fact, who was in the musical episode of Buffy, playing the demon.
Wow. In my head, if I was to cast a cat, I'd put it played by the guy who played Newman. But still the same character really up itself and thinking itself beautiful.
But just a fat cat.
Yeah, you know, like a rubbish cat. But not the guy who plays Newman's rubbish. I can't remember his name.
Wayne Knight.
That's it.
And Daphne out of Frasier was Holly.
Really?
Oh, sorry. I'm looking out the window as I record this and there's a man, a builder, walking across the very top of a roof without any kind of support. Just walking right along it. I literally have nothing to talk about in my papers this week.
It's Santa.
It's not You're Santa.
You're saying Santa. He's not wearing his uniform. He doesn't wear it on the... He only needs to wear that once a year. It's Santa.
Oh, he's just... He's kind of like doing a recce. How he's going to get into these new houses that they're building.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Tell you what, ring up NORAD and see where he is. I think that's really unfair that they keep track of Santa. I think that's just a bit wrong.
Well, he's an illegal immigrant in most countries.
That is true. I mean, he's lucky he doesn't get shot down.
Time for a Christmas article or farcical. I don't know how it would be Christmassy. Maybe it's got tinsel on it somewhere.
It's not that Christmassy, to be honest.
Oh.
There's one which is Christmassy, but all the others just, you know.
Can we coat it in brandy butter?
We can do. We can set light to it.
Can we do that now?
Okay, let's do that. Hang on. Can you... This would be easier with a spoon.
No, I'm not playing with that. It's burnt.
Well, that was stupid. Now we're just, you know, slightly sticky and scorched. Right. So, it's time to play Article or Farcical, where I read out articles from this week's paper, The News of the World, and Simon has to guess which one I've made up. So three are real, one is fictitious. You decide which one is, which one isn't.
What I quite liked about your introduction is that for a game called Article or Farcical based on a newspaper that you've bought to talk about this week, you struggled on the word article, the word farcical, and the name of your newspaper.
Piss you. Right, I'll start with the Christmassy one. Santa Fanta.
Right, Santa Fanta.
Bong's dong is long gone.
Bong's dong?
Is long gone.
Bong's dong.
Bong is a man, and he had his penis chopped off.
That's nasty. Why did he have it chopped off?
His wife did it.
Oh, like, what's her name, and himself?
Yeah.
Lorena Bobbitt. That was the word I was looking for.
Bobbitt is such an unfortunate surname.
Yeah, but of all the things that she's got to live with...
Well, she doesn't have to live with a penis, I suppose. That would be the ultimate sort of eye for an eye crime. She chopped somebody's penis off, so she has to have it attached to her. On a random body part.
On her hip.
On her shoulder. So she'd get a stiff shoulder. Anyway. Thank you. So, two left. Gramps killed by pit bulls.
That's nasty.
It made me laugh.
What? An old man was killed by a pit bull?
Yeah.
That's nasty.
And my new breast came from my tummy.
I assume they took the fat out of her tummy and put them in her boobs.
Possibly.
Right, I have to be honest. Right, this week, the minute you said it, I knew which one you'd made up.
What's that?
Well, I'm not going to say yet, but the minute you said it, I knew you made it up.
Minute? Well, I did them all in about a minute.
Right, the moment you said it.
Moment.
Yeah.
Gonna.
So I think that Bong's dong is an article.
Right.
And that Gramps' pit bull thing is nasty and is still an article. And that tummy breasts is an article. And therefore, Santa Fanta, you're just deliberately, you know that I would love that one. So I think that that is a farcical.
Oh, why can't you just die? You're right.
Yes! You just know that I hate poetry, but I like a short rhyme. It's like a linguistic tick.
That's exactly what you are.
I'm not a gerbil. I'm not a tick. I'm not a spoon. I'm not the back of someone's knee. I am a human animal. I got that wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, that's an animal.
I'm not an animal, yeah.
Well, you are.
Yeah. Basically, I won the game but lost all dignity in celebration.
Santa Fanta. That would be amazing orange drink.
But like the Pope Coke. Health, which is like a really posh elf. If Santa was really posh, he'd be going, where are my elves?
Go away. Well, well done for trying to make it sort of like Santa Clausy and Christmassy, but...
Well done for being really patronising.
Thanks.
So what have you got, then?
I've got Body Talk with Dr. Hillary.
Okay.
You know Dr. Hillary from such shows as This Morning Occasionally, when the other doctor can't do it, and GMTV, and, you know, various...
He's clearly a morning person, isn't he?
There's just this one thing which I thought you'd be interested in, just very briefly, because it picks up... What did you do last week for health?
Itchy nipples.
Oh, I've got itchy legs. Which isn't a sign of breast cancer. It's if this occurs at night, you'll probably have restless leg syndrome.
Oh, God.
So there you go. If you've got itchy legs, or if you're like me and, you know, you wax or shave, might be to do with the hair growing back. But his main article is on Give Hangovers the Sack. Great nights out are often followed by mornings from hell. Our fabulous doctor, fabulous is the name of the magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Our fabulous doctor tells you how to ease the pain. And so it's got preventing hangover and morning after. And the best ways to avoid a hangover, none of them is not drinking alcohol.
Really?
Really?
So basically the advice is not to stop poisoning your body so it rejects that poison, therefore giving you headaches, dehydration, vomitus and other types of rejection.
To be honest, not drinking or having a banana milkshake with honey and cream. Honey milkshake with banana and cream.
Why don't you just have the milkshake?
Well, you don't need to restore your potassium and glucose levels. So it's rather than being good for you, it's just a treat. Do you see? Like eating a full English breakfast, that's number four.
What, as a hangover cure?
Yeah. It helps replace lost salts and minerals and will restore glucose levels.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
But I'd just rather have the milkshake and a fry-up in the morning and not have, like, really painful headache the next day.
My milkshakes bring the hangovers to the yard. And they're like...
Shut up! Ow! Where's the Nurofen? Why is there never any Nurofen? Ow! Right, I've got a tenuous Christmas... sex thing. Your sex doctor, and I've just realised, I just see what her name is. Your sex doctor, Catherine Hood.
Oh, because a hood is a bit like something you get on a penis.
Or a clitoris.
Or a car.
And this week, apparently...
Or a robin! That's Christmassy!
Alright, okay. And this week she's got all the tips you need for frisky festivities.
Oh, I see. So, whilst mine's encouraging you to drink, yours is encouraging sex.
Yeah, 12 sexy days of Christmas. And they've tried to make it like 12 days of Christmas.
Have sex? Is that number one?
No. The first one's about masturbation.
And a partridge and a wank if you're feeling lonely.
That's better than what they've come up with. But they're really tenuous. A night in all alone, which doesn't even fit. And number 12 is 12 magnificent orgasms.
12?
In one night, yeah.
No way. That's not magnificent orgasms. That's just like sore and sleepy.
But it's also got tri-scented candles, so it's contradicting you. Maybe you'll catch fire whilst having sex.
Wow. Do you smoke after sex? No, but I set myself alight during.
Let's talk about celebrities.
Celebrities.
Basically, I haven't got anything else to talk about, and I'm at your mercy now, so luckily I've got a whole pullout called Celebs.
I've got a whole pullout called Fabulous. I've got everyone from Denise Van Outen to Marlin Klass, including Fern Cotton.
Well, isn't that it? Everyone between Denise Van Outen and Mylene Klass is Fern Cotton. I don't even know who Fern Cotton is. Every time I hear the name Fern Cotton, I just think of Fern Britton.
Have you ever heard of this guy? Jean-Christophe Novelli.
No. Should I have done?
Apparently he should have done, because he's a celebrity chef. And he's Michelin Award winning, so he must be a good one.
Right.
And this will be my first sober Christmas, he says. Oh, no, sorry. This will be my first sober Christmas. He says, I want to give the best of myself to Jean. I want to be running around the football pitch when I am 67, which is 67. Not playing dominoes, he says. So there will be no drink on Christmas Day, unless he's 18, for that matter. I used to drink a lot before. Actually, this will be my first Christmas sober.
Right. I actually wondered how you're going to turn this into some sort of Christmas theme, but it turns out you've turned it into an LOLO Christmas special.
I will be serving up goose and turkey with all the trimmings.
Stop.
Listen very carefully. I will say this only once. I know that for the last 200 years, the property was owned by farmers and I've created an organic edible garden.
Right.
For a Frenchman.
Stop. Stop doing the accent.
It's wonderful. Stop it. Says Jesse. I cook my best here, more than anywhere else I have lived. The house brings out the best in me.
I think we should have an accent ban from now on.
He is living near Luton.
I've got the new Doctor Who diva.
Who's that?
Oh, God, I knew you'd have to ask me that.
Oh, it's that good an article, is it? You don't even know her name.
It's Vilil Tishabalala. And she's the new Doctor Who assistant for the Christmas special. And she's talking about how lovely David Tennant is. Everyone always says David Tennant's lovely.
I don't think he is. I think he actually threatens people.
What, physically with violence?
Yeah, he threatens that he'll sort of, you know, slide between their legs. I don't know what that means. I was trying to think of something, because literally David Tennant could walk through a closed door, because he's a very lean man.
Oh, I see. You're just trying to suggest he was thin, not that he was somehow a pervert.
I don't think David Tennant's a pervert. He's very Scottish, though.
Yeah, it's weird when you actually hear him not as Doctor Who, isn't it? You forget that he's Scottish, except when he's being a Scot as Doctor Who, and then you think, oh, he's got a really good Scottish accent, and then you realise that it's because he's Scottish.
There's only one episode where he does that, and that's got Queen Victoria and werewolves in it. Let's not go there.
Do you want to do your Scottish accent?
No.
Do you want to say something that Doctor Who would say as Scot?
What would who say? He would say...
Ock, where's my sonic screwdriver?
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's really weird.
Don't say it.
Why not?
Well, certainly don't say it with an accent.
Okay, I won't say it with an accent. That's my Scottish. Where is my sonic screwdriver? Hello. I basically learnt Scottish from Colin McRae Rally, which is 3-2-1. And then you go, and he goes bear right into four left, like that. So he would say, Cardis, three right.
Stop doing accents!
You
stop
love it.
It.
You love it.
She finishes off by saying, sorry I'm not Kylie Minogue. But hopefully I'll do.
It's basically what you should start off every episode of this podcast saying.
Time to decide who has the superior supplements this week. And I've just... Before we do that...
Oh, it's me though.
Before we do that...
It's Christmas time.
Before we do that...
So am I.
New rule. New amendment to the Sunday supplement constitution. The second amendment.
We got to get the House to vote on it though. And I don't know how we're going to get a house to vote on anything.
Anyone who uses an accent in any given section immediately loses that section.
No!
Yes!
No!
So that means I win because you've just done an accent.
Oh, it doesn't, Simon. You bought the mirror and it was rubbish.
It was bloody awful. Not joking, I read it 5 times from cover to cover. What I talked about was literally the best thing in it. At one point, I nearly thought, I'm going to have to talk about the adverts. They're more interesting than...
You.
Adverts are more interesting than me, yes.
I'm watching the first series of Mad Men. It's good.
It's a bit sex-obsessed, that show. But all the women are really good-looking.
That is true.
I think the men are probably quite good-looking.
It does look a bit like Bugsy Malone, though, because all the men are very young.
Yeah.
It's literally, we could have been anything that we wanted to be.
But, I've got to find something to replace The Shield and The Wire now.
Oh, no.
I've heard that David Simon and Ed Burns have got a new series called Generation Kill, which I might watch. About embedded reporters in Iraq, I think.
Oh, it's not about, you know, a really unfortunate episode of The Generation Game.
What, where Jim Davison got eaten by one of the
Bruce Forsyth, please.
No. I wouldn't want Bruce Forsyth to be eaten by a contestant.
No, but he goes on the rampage as some sort of mutant robot going through time. Naked and arriving completely stark as in a truck stop.
Oh, I see. That's a Terminator reference. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Izzy wins.
Yay! Happy
with
Christmas.
The news of the world.
Simon, do you want your Christmas present now?
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is. That was some magic fairy dust for you. Now you can wish anything you like.
I wish that I was a real boy. No, it didn't work.
No, it didn't. But that's because magic doesn't exist.
So you gave me a dud present?
No, you believed it for a second.
That makes it worse.
Better than bubble bath.
That's our Christmas special then. Join us next week. We'll have a New Year special of some kind, I'm sure.
Merry Christmas. Don't catch fire.
Yeah. Well, unless you're a witch. Then definitely catch fire.
So hope you survive this Christmas. Watch out for exploding puddings and strange men on roofs. We have been Simon and Izzy. I've been primarily Izzy. Simon's been primarily a scared, quivering wreck of a man. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact us on Facebook. We're Sunday Supplement or sundaysupplement.com, or email us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Or you can just, you know, throw bricks through Simon's window with a note attached saying, keep up the good work.
If you take your Sunday Supplement wrappers, the plastic wrappers, and pin them up on your mantelpiece on Christmas Eve, we're going to visit all our listeners and leave them a nice little present.
And a nice little present as well, not a poo.
Oh, no, I was going to leave a present like a cat would in your shoes.
Yeah. A dead wren.
So thank you very much for listening all year, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Ho, ho, ho. Green giant.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.